welcome to the next installment of the SUS News podcast series, where we interview newsmakers and discuss the news and applications relevant to the global unmanned technologies community. I'm your host, Patrick Egan, and as we always do, it's time to introduce our co-host, Mr. Gene Robinson.
You know, Patrick, I just love that opening tune there, man. It's so catchy. It makes me want to dance.
I know. I was thinking about changing it, but then I'm like, you know what? I love that. And we've been doing it now for, what is it, like 5 years or something almost?
So, it seems like a long time, yeah.
It's kind of ingrained. We're in the month of December here. Well, almost. Tomorrow. So we're a little
once of the month tomorrow. Yeah.
All right. Ghost of Christmas future or something. But anyway, I want to talk today about forecasting for 2018 and things that you see. I mean, it's a tumultuous time. There's lots going on. Did you watch the House Transportation Subcommittee hearing yesterday?
I watched all 2 hours of that stuff.
Did you? You know, it got to the point like people were tweeting me and, oh my God, can you believe this? And, oh, what a train wreck. And then to be honest, at a certain point, I just had to turn it off. It was making me physically sick. I couldn't take it anymore. And it might sound dramatic, but, you know, I mean, some of the stuff that was being tossed out there by, like, the guy from AUVSI, there's a pilot shortage. Where does he live? You know, in Ferry Trail Town or something? I mean, people are clamoring for jobs. It's hard to get jobs. And if you do find jobs, they're low paying. And then also I thought, I will say that I believe that these guys on the in the House are coming up to speed on the warts and bumps of the drone industry. What do you think?
There were some comments there, though, that just really made me afraid. And it really showed just exactly how little they know about what's going on out here. You know, my old saying is you don't know what you don't know. And those folks are just finding out now how much they don't know about this stuff.
Yeah, there is some of that. But I will say somebody's feeding them questions because they put Mr. Elwell in the hot seat with the DAC.
Ever.
Oh, and you can tell he wasn't a happy camper. He was like, oh, man. And then and there was, Earl Lawrence like, he knew right off the bat. He's like, oh, you must be talking about task group one. And, after those WAPO articles and the mayor's letter and all the rest of that stuff, I mean, to be honest, I can't believe they're just not going to shut the DAC down and head for the hills. It's just so bad, the optics on that one. But whatever, what do I know?
I will have to say I was surprised at the Honorable Miss Napolitano there, the gray-haired lady. She was actually she kind of drove in on them, Mr. Elwell, pretty hard there, and she kept it up. She was not going to take any sort of nonsense off of them. But, at least she seemed like she had done her homework on the deal.
Yeah, well, like I said, a lot of people now are actually getting fed questions. Some of them are asked to grind questions. Some of them are, throwing out some softballs, all the rest of that. I mean, you're getting to the point where I think you have to be careful on who you associate with. And that leads kind of into the new news stories. I mean, you're probably seeing this too. I mean, I have to say that the rebuttals that DJI is doing to, it's like a growing list. You've got the Aeroscope. You've got, server security, the bug bounty program, the ICE document, which they're just going bananas on that. I mean, I saw, the URL for the Fast Company story was basically DJI saying to the Trump administration, your accusations are insane or whatever. I mean, how... With stuff like that, I mean, how do they plan to work with FAA and DOT? And Chow, I mean, the new guy at FAA is, you know, he was appointed by Trump. Chow. I mean, I don't know. I don't know who's doing the PR over there. But, I mean, you know, I'll say some off-the-wall stuff now and again. You know me for a long time. But, I mean, that is just like full frontal attack on the administration. That just doesn't sound good to me from a Chinese company. What do you think?
Well, I think the kind of the trend in politics these days is jump on Trump anyway, no matter what. And you know, we even got a little politicization out of politicizing in the Senate hearing yesterday. And
yes.
They're probably figuring that you know, hey, everybody else is doing it, we should be able to get away with it too.
Yeah, but, you know, the thing is it's, you know, even, I don't want to go too far down the political road there, but, you know, there's one thing, like when you're, you know, let's say a company in the United States and you're kind of grousing about the government, you know, there, I think you have a little bit more wiggle room when, you know, foreign companies and people that are representing foreign companies are going after the government, you know, like Chinese companies. That's not good. But, you know, again, I'm not getting paid the big bucks to do all of the PR for them, and the team that they've got is doing a stellar job. Anyway. But, I don't know, you know, hey, maybe they've got a plan that I just don't understand. I don't know. So, any other news catch your attention besides the hearing and what's going on with the DJI PR thing?
Well, yeah, I not so much news, but I think everybody can see, and I'm going to make a prediction here. You know, we're good at making predictions. You predicted the sub $1,000, you know, fully autonomous drone. I think the pendulum is going to swing the other way, and I think we're going to see a proficiency standard come out for drone pilots. The FAA is going to be forced into it. And then I think you've already mentioned, you know, certified aircraft as well. But I predict that there's going to be a pilot proficiency test in the near future.
Well, they're kind of, I mean, you know, and even those comments that we co-wrote for, I think we co-wrote those for the 107 when it came out. And I know at least we talked about that. But both of us felt, you know, 55 pounds, 100 miles an hour, no proficiency test. Hey, you know. Little beyond my comfort level, but, you know, I mean, you're the FAA, you're the experts. If that's what you want to do, go for it, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's a little, I mean, that's, you know, well, I don't want to, okay. But anyway, yes. So, and if we're going to start getting into the forecasting, we might as well bring on our guest, who is Mr. Michael Blades. He's Frost and Sullivan. You've been on before, Michael, when we did the counter UAS supergroup, which I think we were from behind or in front of that one. I've noticed everybody's kind of jumping on the bandwagon, but could you please, you know, give us a little bio about yourself, what you do for a living, and a little history.
Sure, yeah. Thanks for having me back, Patrick. It's always good to talk to you and Gene. I'm very happy I got to meet Gene finally face-to-face at the Commercial UAV Expo. After talking so many times. So, okay, so me, I've been working for Frost and Sullivan now for about 6 years, actually a little over 6 years, and I am, I just moved into a position called research director, so I'm responsible for sort of managing all of our research for the North American practice on aerospace and defense and security. So even along with that, I still have markets I have to be responsible for, and one of those markets is drones and everything connected to drones, and that's air, land, and sea. So I'm a busy person just in that arena, and I have other markets I have to cover too, but you don't really care about those here. The other markets besides for the drone markets, training and simulation and DOD probably don't care about, and maybe DOD helicopters, I don't know, because they're the ones that are going to be running into the drones, right, according to everybody.
Well, I mean, and a lot of these technologies are converging, you know. I think that simulation might be something that's even in the commercial world. You know, I talked to Epson, some people from Epson yesterday with the B300s, and they've come out with a new app so you can do
simulator training. That's a nice product, right?
It's a nice product. I like it. I had the V200s, and I like the idea that you can actually, you know, do actually keep your eyes on the bird. You can deconflict your airspace. They're nice. It's not heavy like wearing an Oculus Rift or something. Not that I'm putting Oculus Rift down, but you can still see through it, you know.
And you don't even have to have a drone to actually try to, you know, do some training on how to fly it, you know. That's the kind of the cool thing there.
Well, I think that's going to be something as we move forward. I think there's going to be more of that. And then training, and I think standards
absolutely
training and things like that. But I'm sorry, I derailed you. Please go ahead.
No, no. No, just before I worked for Frost-Sullivan, I was just a military Air Force pilot for 21 years flying different aircraft. So I'm somewhat familiar with airspace, global airspace. So I guess that's what qualifies me to come in and talk about those kinds of things. But I have a little bit of actual hands-on experience with drones. I figured I'd better buy one if I'm going to start forecasting markets. But ever since I've been working here, I've been responsible for forecasting the market for drones. And, of course, I started in the military side because that's where all the money is being spent. And it sort of still is. It's not growing very much. And then, obviously, 4 or 5 years ago when DJI decided to launch the Phantom 1 and everybody went kind of nuts, especially AVSI on their forecasts, I had to start following these kinds of things. So, so that's my responsibility now. Start in 2015, I put out a report that made some forecasts, and I'm updating that right now. So it's kind of good timing.
Right. Well, you know, and I mean, we're coming around to a new year. That was another thing going right back to the House panel yesterday. And in the opening of Mr. Elwell there, Gene, and you probably noticed that too. I don't know if you watched it, Mike, but he rolls right out with $82 billion, or it's just like, oh my God, there is no $82 billion here.
I watched about 30 minutes of it, and I did like you, and really couldn't. First of all, I don't have the time to spend 2 hours listening to things that aren't incredibly important. And you can, like Gene said, I think you could tell that some of them were just not. They just did not do their homework. And at that point, I was like, okay, I got to get to other things that are actually going to inform me.
Yeah, relevant in the real world. Some of us are in the real world. But every time I hear that, I'm like, oh my God, and then there was the jobs forecast that, that AUVSI did that was totally wrong. And they did a forecast of what these jobs would pay, which was totally wrong. It's just, I think you follow me on the Twitter, and some people are like, wow, you're kind of critical. But then on the other hand, they usually come back and they go, man, you were like right on the money. How'd you know this? And it's like, well, because I've been doing this for a while, and me and Gene have talked about this, and I call it the regulatory wheel of suffering. But Gene, me and Gene will get on the phone, and it's just like, dude, it's like a rerun, right, Gene?
It is. Oh, it's like deja vu all over again, because we have to keep listening to the same stories. We're like, wait, we already did this one time. Can we do something different?
Yeah, well, that or, say some of the pitfalls of the industry, you probably remember in the early days you were like, I'm doing this and there's no competition. The competition came in. It was a race to the bottom on the price. Then you had guys, then when the policy clarification came in, everybody that had equipment and was doing this and had built up a business and all the rest of it. I mean, overnight I lost, my whole investment. Gone.
Yeah.
And to watch people scoff law and go out there and build market share and make money and the FAA not enforcing their policy. And I got to tell you right now, the bottom line, I was telling somebody else yesterday, it's kind of like when you go buy the box of Band-Aids, and they've got the assortment pack and you get the little one for like the paper cut. That's how I see the industry and the FAA going at the issues. Your registration, dismal failure. It did not work. Sightings were up. Your education, know before you fly, you preach to the choir, did not work. Geofencing, that's a total joke. It does not work. We've seen it. you know, every prison you go into or football stadium or whatever. And then, you know, you come back and I talked to DJI about this, and I told him it kind of appears like you're double dipping. And I want some feedback if you guys don't mind on this. But my thing is, okay, so your geofencing was going to be the solution for Yahoos and Rode drones. Didn't work, so now you're coming out with a new system to, you know, let's say augment the system that doesn't work in the first time. And I think, personally, it looks like you're double dipping. You should probably pick one or the other. Anybody care to comment on that?
Michael,
are you talking about Aeroscope?
I'm talking about, yeah, I'm talking about Aeroscope, but I'm also talking about the geofencing, the tinfoil, the rubber bands, how it doesn't work. These solutions that are supposed to be the holy grail that don't work. I mean,
They work, but at the most inopportune times, like when you're in a disaster area and you're
when G's trying to use them.
Well, don't you just, you know, by now, don't you have, like, you know, a piece of beer can on there with some duct tape, or, you know, you're not doing that. Or at least not fast enough to that.
We have more genteel ways of circumventing that system.
Just pulled it. Well, you have seen my Viva Zapata Freedom Flyer sombrero for the Inspire Wood. Have you seen that picture? Well, you know, I mean, I don't know. It's just I don't think it's a good solution. Michael, what do you think?
Well, if you're talking about Aeroscope, I mean, I've looked at what they've said about that. I mean, I'm going to side on I'm going to side with the people who do that for a living. I mean, DJI makes drones for a living. They don't make drone tracking systems. I mean, they could piece something together. But when you're talking to the counter UAS folks who do that for day in and day out to identify, track, detect, identify, and track small UAS, they know what they're doing. And if they tell you that it doesn't work, it probably doesn't work.
Well, and you know, and here's the deal too. Okay, so as a brand, and again, you know, people say, oh, you're beating up on DJI. I tweeted this out the other day. I said, look, if the policy, the PR, and the advocacy were on par with the DJI products, we would be sitting pretty. What happens, I think, now is their credibility is kind of shot through the grease. So when they come out and say, hey, this is the solution, I'm not taking it at face value. And so I even asked one of the reps from the company, I said, you know, have you tested it? Has it been verified by a third party? And kind of, you know, I think I pissed them off. Well, nobody else is verifying their stuff. But yeah, but that's the business they're in. And if their stuff doesn't work, they're not going to sell anything. You know what I'm saying? So I'm kind of with you, Mike, on the, you know, what business are you in thing. That's kind of how I see it. And then the other deal is even with the geofencing, how come, you know, you're doing an enterprise-grade thing. You're in a situation like Gene where lives are on the line and you got to call some dude in China to get him to turn it off. From a company standpoint of view. And on the other hand, when you're talking about, oh, we're not collecting data and there's this ChiComs thing is insane and blah, blah, blah. It's like, well, why do you even have it on your enterprise customers? You got a 107 license, right, Gene?
I have several licenses. Which one do you want to see?
Well, you got the one from the, you know, the 107.
I do. I have 107 and 61 and, you know, a couple other things.
And you got one. Yeah. Well, and so, you know, you got a couple for the dog, whatever, right? You know, with that, you had the TSA background check. You know how to operate these things. You've taken the test. You've met the criteria to be a commercial pilot for drones, whatever. Why are you suffering from the geofence? It makes no sense to me. I still haven't been able to figure that one out. But that's me. So I don't know. I think we did talk about certifications coming, I think, in 2018. I think, yeah, the proficiency thing, I totally agree with that. Anybody else want to make some regulatory predictions for 2018?
Well, you know, and Gene hinted at it at the beginning, and, you know, you and I have talked about this before, Patrick, and I agree with Gene. I really do think there's going to be this sort of, as you said, a pendulum swing back towards what is going to be required in order to fly in certain situations, if there are certifications and it sort of started with this whole little 1.4-pound drone that can fly over people for CNN. I mean, like you said when we were talking before, Petra, that's questionable whether something like that can provide a, you know, broadcast-quality video. Maybe it can, maybe it can't, I don't know. But in the future, it's going to be something else that's doing that kind of thing, flying over people. And if you're doing that, you're going to have some sort of measure of security required. So there's going to, just like regular aircraft, there's going to have to be redundancies. There's going to have to be added measures of safety. I mean, this whole frangible drone from Amazon idea that I saw the other day was, to me, was just talk about, you want to say something that's insane. That seems insane to me. Instead of just having one thing fall down, let's have multiple things fall down on somebody. That doesn't make any sense to me. Parachute, okay, I can see that. But I think it's mostly based on redundancies. I mean, aircraft don't have, well, for the most part, don't have parachutes. They have redundant systems and people flying them so that if something goes wrong, there's a backup. And those things are going to, I think we're going to see a sort of a movement towards that. I think we're going to see, you're talking about regulations. There's a lot of things that I see coming down.
Okay, you can go ahead. I mean, you know, this is the forecast show, so just go for, you know, whatever you
Well,
think.
I think we're going to see, you know, we saw the bloodletting of all the companies that on the small inexpensive drone side that had the layoffs. I think we're going to see a similar thing with maybe more high-end drone makers because the money's running out there too. I have seen a trend of, and we've also talked about this before, I call them transitional, but other people call them hybrid drones where you have the vertical takeoff and the fixed-wing capabilities. I've listed it, I think 10 or 11 different companies that have debuted a new platform this year. Debuted. I mean, it's to me, it's nuts. And they range anywhere from, you know, $5,000 up to tens of thousands of dollars. And I know they're all going for a niche market, and they're all trying to get that in that market where DJI doesn't play right now. And once that money, the VCs are funding them, once that money dries up, they're going to dry up, and so are some of the higher end. You know, there's way, way more platforms out there than the market can support. And, you know, I think my predictions for the through 2022, you have all these grandiose predictions. Mine looks at both revenue and platform sales or unit sales. And so revenue, I don't have going up a lot at all over those 5 or 6 years. I have sort of, it's not quite flat, but it's less than 10%. And then I have the actual unit sales, you know, in the double digits, but they're very small double digits. And I think that goes back again to what Gene said earlier about you predicting the sub 1,000 fully automated drone. That's exactly what happened. It's still happening. It's a race to the bottom. How much capability can we get on the least expensive platform? Because in the end, again, where's the money being made? It's being made with value added services. It's all those companies that are providing value added services. And if you can do that with an inexpensive platform, you know, you're going to do that with an expensive platform.
Well, and it's kind of, you know, it's funny you say that because I've been saying that, I mean, since the beginning, you know, the benefits of the drone for me, and this is since I got into this thing, has been self-guided data collection and the idea that drones augment already existing businesses. And
That's
I've been
right.
saying that for over a decade. So, you know, yeah. I've heard people proselytize and farm drones and you know, all this other family show. Hyperbole! That's it. And, you know, I'm like, you know, that's just not really where it's at. The drone, I deal with it all the time with people I know. Well, God, you've been into this drone thing forever, and these drones are magical. They can do everything. You know, it's like, they're not magical. They can't do everything. But, you know, if you're a map maker, and you do stuff for manned aircraft, and you do stuff on the ground, and then, hey, I've got this new tool, this new $2,000 tool that I can go out and, you know, do some work with it. It's going to save me some stuff. Or even in farming, you know, I could see the fertilizer salesman getting the drone and using that to show a farmer, hey, you need fertilizer here, whatever. The idea that I'm going to be Jimmy and I'm going to jump off my pool route and get on the drone route, not happening, you know. So there's a few things there that I don't think are going to happen. And as the pendulum swings back, and this is another thing I've said with the drone thing, all of the numbers and forecasts will probably be regulatory dependent, because the more regulation you put on anything makes the costs go up to operate and also the barriers to entry. So, you know, we'll have to see what comes back on that and what the certification looks like. But, Mike, you're right on the money. I mean, the business thing, and we've always said this too, you know, it's a liability game. Now, that thing that CNN got, I mean, it's, you know, flight jackets aside, you know, I don't think that thing is going to fly in much wind at all. So it's not really usable. Now, if I need something that I'm going to use, I mean, you're right on the money. And you're going to have to be certified enough so that when you go in there and somebody gets hit with it, same deal with Amazon. I mean, we could do a whole show on the problems of Amazon, but I don't want to give away the store. But, you know, like you said, okay, so say you're at the, you know, you're at whatever, and you're walking down the street. It's lunchtime, financial district, and an Amazon drone goes frangible and goes to pieces and falls down on the, rains down on the crowd. You know, if anybody so much as drops, you know, like a drop of blood is shed, you know, you will have people hiring slip and fall shysters suing Amazon for millions of dollars, you know.
And that's who's going to make the money. You know, no matter how you look at this drone market, the people who are going to make the money are the people who insure the drones, the people who come in and are the lawyers who are, you know, trying to get money exactly what you said from the companies that are supposedly liable for these things. So, yeah, so I've always said the people who are going to benefit the most from the drone market are lawyers and insurers.
They usually seem to clean up everywhere.
You got to figure, though, I mean, the dollars are there, just they didn't say who was going to get them.
That's right. Maybe those are the jobs that AVSI was talking about.
That's right.
Oh, that's
maybe.
Wrong.
Well, I mean, it's funny, though, because it's kind of ironic. But, you know, now the other thing I wanted to talk about, and we're going to run long, but that's okay. These always run a little bit long. And for the listeners at home, if you have other things to do, just, you know, put it on pause and you can listen to it later. But I want to talk about this pilot program that everyone's like, oh, you know, oh, God, it's going to be great. We're going to learn so much. And, you know, and I think I'm going to go to Gene on this one first. Hey, Gene, you know, let's talk about the Ghost of Christmas Past and this drone pilot program thing. What do you think?
Well, you know, I was involved early on with the center here and tried to get involved with them very early and even help and contribute. And it was an education for me. And even though that they are, you know, a not-for-profit sort of organization, they can recoup and recover costs. And we discovered that we had to, every time we flew out there, there was a control room that had 10 people in it that they recovered cost on. 10 people for the flight of a 4.5-pound piece of foam for 30 minutes. Wow, those numbers didn't work out so good for us. And, you know, here we go. And one of the things that I've got to say about the guy that was talking yesterday, the FAA says they need data, right? And the data thing was what they were supposed to be getting out of the flight excellence centers. And, you know, instead of giving this thing out to 6 more, he said we should be giving it out to 100 or 200 or 1,000 more so we can get all these data points and it doesn't take us 102 years. And I totally agree with them. I just don't think that the pilot program is going to move us forward. Because if you look at it now, we're looking at 4 years.
Well,
I'm past retirement age after that. You know, come on, give me a break. I want to do something now.
Well, okay, so, you know, for to educate some of the listeners that may be newer to this. A lot of people, you know, this is another one that cracks me up. Oh, you know, early adopter of drones was like a year and a half ago, you know. Okay. And I must be like, you know, Neanderthal cave guy adopter of drones. But, you know, the test center thing, I remember when that language was put into the reauthorization in 2012. And, you know, AUVSI had a free hand in that. They were, you know, put whatever you want in there, the language. And I saw it before it went in there. I go, dude, you know, there's no money. You know, test center thing, no worky with no money. It is not happening. And then so that's what hamstrung the test centers. But so everything we're talking about now about doing with the drone pilot program should have already been done with the test center. And this data thing, you know, anybody that buys that or is still falling for that ruse, I feel sorry for you. Because remember, Gene, remember it about, you know, after we got out of the ARC, I was following FAA personnel around the world. And every time they would get up somewhere and talk about what they were doing and how it was happening and yada, yada. And, you know, if we just had some data, I would get up usually and ask, all right, you know, so have you thought about the data you need? Well, no. Have you come up with a data collection matrix? Well, no. You got any, you know, anything scribbled down on the back of a napkin on what you need to collect? Well, no. Do you have any inclination about which kind of data you want to collect? Well, not really. Okay. That doesn't sound good. Well, you know, and then usually you'd get the revolving chair or, you know, thing where it would be like, well, I just got here, you know, and I've only been here 6 months and my feet are under the desk and I got to take another year to come up to speed and blah, 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 and yada, yada, yada. And here we are facing 2018.
And I think if you'll recall, Patrick, back in the early days when they said that, I was in one of the first meetings as well where they told us to get that data. And I was a software developer at the time, you know, and I was just blowing and going with, you know, Bill Gates' stuff. And I put together a software package that was kind of interesting for the time because it was a flight logbook. Do you recall that? That we were giving away?
I certainly do. Yes, I do.
And we would allow a pilot to anonymously report to a website all their flight, their outcomes, their, you know, the same thing that we have to report now as a COA, under a COA, as a drone operator. We did that and wrote the software 12 years ago.
Right. So that's why I say
recall,
this is,
that data was that they told us that data couldn't be validated, so it wasn't usable.
Right. But, you know, there were other avenues I suggested, too, is that we use CAATA survey, which is a survey they send out to licensed pilots to talk about takeoffs and landings. And really, the criteria for that, it might have been tightened up a little bit because I really had a field in that one. You need your logbook, you know, it's just you estimate how many hours you flew, takeoffs and landings and all the rest of that, you know, from your best recollection, you know. And then they would also use the SLs and, you know, whatever, and such plane flies and burns such and such 100 low lead gas and blah, blah, blah. And then try and figure out the hours. And then later on down the road, the whole thing blew up into a total embarrassment. I think you might remember that, where they, like 90,000 airplanes were missing from the total, the registration. Nobody knew where they were, and then it. Then they, oh, no, we overestimated the numbers, and people weren't registering their aircraft. And that was another the data that they said they can't collect data because you can't collect data from operations that were outside of the law. But on the other hand, you had 90,000 aircraft that weren't, like, currently registered, or they couldn't get in touch with the owners. So that blew the whole GAATA survey and the safety of the nest 10-7. And it turned into a total debacle. And this goes back to what I was saying earlier, you know, with the FAA. If you really want to stop, like, the rogue droners and all of that, and remember, this was, I believe you were banging the drum back in 2005, the regulations have to be something that you can enforce. If you don't have regulations you can't enforce, then you might as well not even write them down, because it's going to be a waste of time.
And here we are, 2018.
With unenforceable the same rate. Problems. Exactly. I don't know. You know, Mike, what do you say? I mean, you're a pilot. You still, are you a GA pilot? You still flying around or what?
No, I haven't. I haven't flown since I haven't flown in like 10 years, unfortunately. And because of the last portion of my time in the Air Force, I was at a desk job, which really sucked, but that's what you got to do. No, I mean, you know, obviously still have opinions. I mean, I agree with you. You obviously can't, you can't, if you can't enforce it, there's not a whole lot of point in it. It's interesting what UAE is doing though. I mean, they're making people register at the point of sale, which I said it. But when they first even started registration, if you don't make people register at point of sale, then there's no guarantee that you're going to have people registering anything. So the people who were going to act in bad faith weren't going to register anyhow. So that, I think that's kind of why that bit the dust. But, I mean, there are ways to do this. It's just a matter of, you know, how we do it with inputs from the community rather than with inputs from the people who want to make money off of it.
Well, you know, here.
There you go.
Well, and then we do have another factor in there, and one of the factor on the registration task force. You know, you had Best Buy, and you had some of the other retailers, and basically when that debacle went down, they were like, if it's not at the point of sale, you do whatever you want to do. And then right there, so that just tells me, just you know, I mean, what you're saying is common sense to me. Look. You go into the store and you buy a drone and they say, okay, well, when you buy the drone, hey, you have to register with the FAA. Most people are going to go, FAA? What, you know, what are you talking about? Oh, well, you know, there's rules here to use these in the nest. But what's going to happen is, you know, are you going to buy, you know, Billy going to get a new drone for Christmas? Or, the, you know, is the mom or dad going to go, what? Register with the FAA? What, you know, what are you talking about? Rules? I think you're going to put the kibosh on sales.
Well, I'm sure that they were worried about that, yeah. But even that goes back to the whole DJI thing. Is, and we're talking about the security issues and whatnot. And you and I talked about this before, Patrick, that a lot of people just don't care about that. So their sales are going to get hurt. I just don't know how badly they're hurt. A lot of people just don't understand the issues. And most folks out there are using them for just taking videos and whatnot anyways. So it's not going to be I don't think, a huge dent. However, growth is only going to be seen. It's not surely not going to be seen in the small UAS market, right? I mean, that's pretty much a commoditized market. The enterprise market is where the growth is going to be. And once you go in there, now you start talking about people who are a little bit more interested in security, especially when we're talking about things like what Gene does. So. You know, growth might be an issue in there. They'll be able to keep their status where they're at, I think. I sort of kind of went off your topic there, but on the consumer and prosumer side. But once you start getting up into the areas where security matters, it's going to be a deal. It's going to be an issue.
Well, I mean, you know, I think these are, like I was saying before with the Band-Aids, that they're just delaying tactics. You know, obviously, where we're at now with the integration effort is you just have companies in there that want to sell product, okay? I mean, and that's fine. And that's why I've been saying, like, you know, the private-public rulemaking, you don't have end users represented. So people are just trying to get in there and, you know, make a situation where they could sell product, and it's natural, and that's what happens in a capitalist society. However, it's a race to the bottom. You keep trying this stuff and it doesn't work, eventually, you know, you're either going to have a problem with the government, or you're going to have liability issues and get, you know, fixed through tort, or people are just going to stop buying your product. Now, you know, the other thing that I do see, which is just starting to bug me, is, you know, this the data security thing. And people have been trying to paint me as a conspiracy theorist, or it's ridiculous or absurd that people are this concerned with data security. But haven't we all kind of agreed that the commodity with drones is data?
Absolutely. Well, I mean, if you're talking about on an enterprise side, again, the answer to everything we talk about is always it depends, especially in the market research area. But a lot of people who are taking videos of things and they don't care if someone has access to that. But there are many applications where people do not want that data getting out. So yes, I mean, data is. I agree with you 100% because really, and it goes back to our military experience with drones. What does the military call drones? They call them trucks. All they care about the drone
That's
for is to get, yeah, is to get a sensor where it needs to be. The issue after that becomes, okay, what information are we taking? How is it being encrypted, and who has access to it? So yeah, after that first part of collection, then the issue becomes security. So I agree with you. It's an issue. It's a big issue, and it's a bigger issue than it's being maybe given credit for. But at the same time, you still have a lot of commercial users who don't care because of what they're using them for.
Right, and I agree with that. You're doing real estate photos or wedding photography,
yeah,
or unless it's for TMZ.
And that's,
you know,
the lion's share, but that's going to skew. That's going to change because as the technology gets better, as the platforms get better, endurance gets better, that's going to skew. And by the way, as business cases are being built, that's, I think, why we haven't seen this wide-scale adoption. I mean, obviously, regulatory things are an issue, but 107 allows quite a lot of activity and a lot of commercial operations. Yeah, and so after this time where people are really figuring out, is adding a drone to my toolbox going to be something that actually gives me an ROI? That's where we're at right now, trying to figure out, by the way, we're also trying to make an ecosystem where we don't have to go one place to get a sensor, one place to get a drone, one place to get software, one place to get data processed and then presented in a usable format or that's actual information that you can make decisions on. Put that all together, use that in your business, and then find out there's an ROI. There's not always going to be – drone isn't the answer to everything. So as we're working this out, then you're going to see that skew more towards the enterprise side where all these users have finally figured out, yes, the drone's going to help me be more efficient or, you know, save costs, be more safe, or it's not. And so I think in those areas, that's when your data starts becoming more of an issue, because now you're talking more enterprise, you're talking more competitive protection of information and proprietary sort of data and innovations or whatever. So, go ahead.
I agree with that. And here's another thing that I don't think people gleaned at us. But I say this, it's like, okay, there's certain industries where people don't want to share their data. And it's almost it almost seems bizarre to me because people are like, well, why wouldn't I just buy a $1,000 drone, you know? I had a conversation with a gentleman that works for the biggest wireless carrier in Australia. And I go, so you let me just get this straight. Your company doesn't really care about, let's say, their secret sauce or the way that they do business. They're okay with that getting out? Well, no, of course not. Well, I think you answered your own question about the $1,000 drone. It's not really a bargain if you're giving away the secret sauce. And there's a lot of industries, mining, gas, and oil exploration, energy. You know, I can think of a lot of different things where they're not going to want to get hacked or get that data out there.
Oh yeah.
Now, the other thing
I'm sorry. I was going to say those applications are going to increase too. Just the thing that we both commented on earlier with the school that's teaching people not just how to fly drones, but how to fly drones and specifically to conduct tower inspections. Now that's something that's marketable. That's again, that going back to what you were talking about, that may not be an area where the data security is a big issue, but there are going to be more sort of training scenarios like that where people are being trained specifically to do a job with a drone to get that, as you call it, regulatory data, where that data is going to need to be relatively or, you know, somewhat secure, maybe not to the level of military, but, you know, at least have some sort of security on it where it's not just, you know, immediately accessible to anybody who has a little bit of hacking experience.
Exactly. You know, here's another thing that I thought was kind of funny. So, you know, this was another thing that kind of goes back to some of the PR that DJI has been doing, and they attacked Department 13 and their solutions, and they were, and they, you know, highlighted that Department 13 was actually started by an Australian mining company. And I don't know if they tried to deride them for that, but, you know, interesting side note, what I read between the lines there is that a mining company was interested in counter drone technology. Kind of confirms what we were just talking about.
Yeah. I mean, think about that. There's a lot of companies that could benefit from having the capability to know if someone's trying to gain some you know, competitive intelligence by flying over their operation.
Exactly. And
corporate espionage.
Yeah, corporate
for somebody
espionage.
Go ahead. Invested in a gold mine. That was a funny story. But anyway, I invested in a gold mine, blah, blah, blah. Stock went way up, you know. I mean, mining operations, it's, you know, how much, you know, material were taken out of the mine, percentages of ore, blah, blah, blah. I mean, if that gets out, I mean, you think there was a deal at De Beers where somebody, they got kind of hacked into their database or some information got out about how they just sell their diamonds, you know, no haggling. In lots, blah, blah, blah. They went nuts. Whoa, you know, because you're giving away the secrets of, you know, a business where there's lots of money. There's money in diamonds, if you guys didn't know that. If you ever bought jewelry for your wife. You know, there's money there. But the same with, you know, gold or, you know, and then if you get into something like you're mining uranium or now, you know, with all of this moving to electric cars, again, we've got converging technologies because a lot of these systems are electric. You know, everybody's talking about cobalt. Everybody's talking about lithium. Chinese are buying up the lithium. You know, Elon Musk is talking about, you know, opening some factory in China. You know, is it to build cars or to get lithium or, you know, what's going on here? So as time goes on, I mean, you know, if you know these mines that are pulling, you know, what they're pulling out of the mines and you get intelligence on that, that's worth a lot of money. Or even in the futures markets. I mean, these guys that trade on the future markets for like commodities and food and textiles and all the rest of that stuff. This, I mean, the intelligence on that could result in winning millions of more dollars in the futures market, which is kind of a Monte Carlo type of thing. I can't seem to make any money anywhere in the stock market. I buy high and sell low.
Well, it's not just corporate espionage either. It's you know, it's, is that drone flying over there to get data, or is it flying over there to get sort of, well, there's good data and there's bad data, right? And I'm going to use my data for good. I can use my data for bad.
Well, and exactly. Even in both of those categories, there's grades of data. You know, you get survey grade data from RTK systems and being able to post-process to that. And then there's, you know, your aerial snapshot that is really just good for kind of looking at the aerial snapshot.
Yeah, and as we go right. As we go along, it's cheaper and cheaper to even get that RTK.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, and with some of the technology that's out now, you don't even need the RTK.
Exactly. But, you know, as we move forward on this, too, a lot of people, too, this was another thing I heard yesterday in that hearing, committee hearing, as people were like, well, you know, there are the other countries ahead of us in Europe and whatnot. Well, in certain instances, I do think that the Europeans are ahead of us. And this we've been seeing in the news more and more as you notice that these European companies, so-and-so company gets certified to inspect tanks. So-and-so company gets certified to inspect bridges. So-and-so company, they're about building the certifications. And they're about having data, again, this regulatory-grade data, which is better than commercial-grade data, because you are going to indemnify yourself against lawsuits. It's the same example, and I think I may have mentioned this even before, was the here in California with the Sonoma fires. They're already looking to pin the blame on the donkey. And, you know, so there's PG&E, Pacific Gas and Electric, is in the crosshairs. oh, you know, even though if they followed all the laws and the regulations and it, you know, they contributed to the fire, they could be liable, blah, blah, blah. You know, is it going to be some guy with his selfie drone that they're going to rely on to gather the data they need to make sure that they're in regulatory compliance? I don't think so. I think it's going to be somebody that knows what they're talking about, who's certified, who can, you know, get in on the witness stand there and be cross-examined by a kennel full of shyster lawyers. Am I all wet? You think I'm on to something or not? What do you guys think?
Go ahead, Mike.
I was going to let you talk because you haven't been talking a whole lot lately.
Oh, let's see. I'm going to punt it over to you, Mike.
And so what is it that you want to know, Patrick?
Well, I mean, do you think that I'm right? I mean, that you're going to have to, if you're a big company like that or a utility, that you're going to want people collecting data from you that are certified in that area and could stand up under cross-examination in the court of law?
Oh, I think
or,
it's going to be
know,
it. Go ahead. Or what?
Well, or do you think it's going to be just some guy with a selfie drone?
No, no. I mean, I think that, and I hated to be the person to break the bad news, but I've had people come up to me and say, look, I have this drone company and we take pictures for people and we do this and we do that, and I'm like, unless you have some sort of subject matter expertise in an area, you're not going to be needed. I think that the companies are going to want someone who is not only certified in legal as a pilot or regular pilot or drone pilot, but also someone who's certified in what they're doing. So, you know, so you have a less exposure to that liability. And, of course, that's also going to drive how much you pay for insurance too.
Well, exactly. And the thing is really like anything like that in a regulatory sense, you know, you need to be an expert. You need to be an SME. And I think that's one of the problems that we even have with the integration thing is most of these people that show up and can afford to go to these committee meetings and whatever, they don't know anything about drones. They've never run a company. They've never fielded systems, you know. The other thing is a lot of people believe in their minds that they're an expert. I mean, I tell this story all the time. You know, the guy from Cal OES called me up, and he's like, hey, you know, I hear you're an expert, a drone expert. And I go, well, you know, it depends. What do you want to do? Well, you know, disaster relief. Nope, I'm not a drone expert there. And the guy even says, he's like, you were the first person that I talked to who said that they weren't a drone expert at, like, disaster relief and search and rescue. I said, well, you know, when people's lives are on the line, I'm not going to be that guy. And then I usually go, you need to talk to Gene Robinson. But, you know, it's one of those things. We need to, I think the rising tide needs to lift all boats. And the barrier to entry has got to be more than $1,000 at Best Buy or whatever else. But, you know, we'll see what happens as we move forward. But go, Gene.
Yeah, well, I can get back now on, you know, I didn't really have as much to say on the corporate side as I do on the public safety side. And that's why I'm really kind of fumbling there trying to figure out what to say on the corporate side. But Mike is absolutely on target when he says that you need to have that specialized knowledge. And that's what we are trying to do in public safety, because we are constantly cross-examined on how data is captured and how it's processed and who has control of it every single time. So we have to maintain that standard. Whereas, you know, corporate doesn't necessarily have to. It's better for their own self-preservation. But, I mean, it comes down to a legal case for us every time.
Well, and I've said that about the Chi-Coms deal, too. You know, it's like, I mean, it's not, we're going to, one day, you know, there's going to be a law enforcement, let's say, user, and there's going to be a case. And somebody's lawyer is going to ask the question, well, geez, you know, I read all these news stories about how this data wasn't secure. Is there a chance that this evidence could have been tampered with? Well, you know, we can't really say for sure. Boom, you're out.
That's right.
You know, so we need to think about all of that moving forward. And I tell people, too, I give them advice. If you're in the business and you have a website up, you should probably have, you know, a data, let's say, chain disclaimer. You know, hey, this is what we do to make sure our data is secure, blah, blah, blah. You know, we're not responsible for third-party vendors, blah, blah, blah. I just think that's the way to go on that. But anyway, we're going to probably wrap it up here because we're almost at an hour. Happens quick. But, Mike, maybe a website where people could see or look at your work or
Yeah, that's a funny one because our website's got so much information on it from a company standpoint. Probably easiest if you want to ask me something, just to send me a note on Twitter. It's at Mike S. Blades is Twitter, or you can email me michael.blades@frost.com, and I can give you links to any kind of reports that I've written or that are. Aerospace Defense and Securities team has written, rather than you having to search through the thousands of reports that are on the database in there. So appreciate you
right.
Get that out there. Thanks.
No, you know, people need to be able to find some good information. And the other one I want to do too, we talk about, or, you know, this was funny as I was like, oh, I want to do a holiday show podcast, you know, talk about some new stuff going on. And somebody actually tweeted back, hey, why don't you get Gene Robinson on? And I was like, you know, Gene's been the co-host for like 5 years. So. But hey, you know, I'm thinking about getting this Gene Robinson guy on the show because he's a good guy. Mike, you finally got to meet Gene. I've known Gene a long time. He's a salt of the earth guy. And, you know, so you're almost out of that $100 bill you gave me, Gene, to say nice things about you. No, I'm kidding.
Okay.
What about the website where you're doing your work?
Drone Pilot.
All of our stuff, you know, the training that we're doing, the standardized training, by the way, which is something that,
yay,
you know, is predicted, is at www.dronepilot, imagine that, .io, not com, .io. IO stands for Intelligent Organization.
Well, you guys are doing the good stuff. And I, you know, I did do the one. Actually, I ran across that this morning when I did the, I did your stuff at the Consumnes River Fire Department, you know, drone thing. And I presented your material, which I thought was very thorough. You know, to beat the drum one more time, it really just, man, gets my goat, grinds my gears, steams my clams. When people are saying, oh, we're training law enforcement. Well, who's your law enforcement drone expert? Well, we don't have one, but, you know, you don't really need that. Man, I just, you know, I must blow my stack, you know, because you're giving people a false sense of security, you know, yada, yada. Just, I don't know, really bugs me. But anyway, let's leave it on an up note. Okay, so on the up note, before we close the show, we're going to throw it over to Michael here. On your good prediction for 2018.
Oh, well, I mean, the good predictions. I think we're going to see a lot more adoption. I think we're going to see a lot more work done towards where companies, especially the drone services companies, can offer or finding ways where they're actually getting a return on investment because they're finally figuring out that, you know, if we offer an end-to-end solution, we can provide folks with some you know, measurable ROI by using drones. And again, I don't think the drones in a lot of areas are going to supplant current operations, but they're going to enhance current operations as a tool. Some will, but most will just they'll be tools. I think that's what we're going to see. I think that's what we're going to see, a lot of growth in using drones for enhancing current operations, and we've seen a lot of that in the mines, like you talked about, which in construction. That's going to grow. That's going to keep growing. We're going to keep learning. Things are going to get cheaper, especially on the subsystem side, the sensor side, because the drones, I don't think, can get a whole lot cheaper, but the actual things that go on them are going to. There's a lot of competition out there for the sensors and the software offerings and whatnot. So, I mean, obviously that's all going to cause quite a bit of consolidation and probably some companies going by the wayside. But the actual ecosystem itself, I expect to grow pretty, I don't want to say significantly, but notably.
Okay, well, that's a good one. Gene, I think more people are going to get found. What do you think for...
I think so, and I've always predicted, and along the lines, I'll kind of keep going with what Mike said on the payloads. The drones are going to get smaller and more efficient, I think, because people are concerned about that whole kinetic impact thing, and they'll get better at it. But more importantly, and I say this, I think that there's going to be a sensor that will be able to detect a person, and I always use this because I'm kind of a Star Trek fan anyway, it's going to be like the tricorder. Right, you're going to be able to go, wee, and hey, you know, there's three life forms out there, and one of them is human, and two of them are deer, and you're going to be able to figure that out. And I honestly believe that that's going to happen.
And I was thinking one of them at least was going to be a Klingon, but you know, all right, you got me, you got me with that one. No, I think that's good, and I definitely do. I think that the positive thing for 2018 for me is I think that. We have crossed a threshold where almost kind of the startup-iness of the drone industry is kind of, it's over. And I think now we're going to be moving into, a more realistic business climate. Hype's going to die down. I think people have, you know, they've oversold it. I think there's a little bit of a letdown. I will say I do see some parallels of like the dot-com thing, you know, when the internet was going to, create all these new jobs and there were computer shops on every corner and, you know, web guys and all the rest of that. And then there was consolidation. I think we're going to see some of that here as we move forward. But I think that the quality of the data is going to be better. And that's really at the, that's the crux of the biscuit, as Mr. Zappa would say, right, Gene?
That is it.
So, yeah, I think that's a totally good thing because the better the data, the better it is for all of us to know about our world and, you know, how to be better stewards of it. So I think it's a good thing. And that's all our time for today, boys and girls. So, Michael, I'd like to thank you for being on. Again,
thanks,
you know,
for
we'll be
me.
On the lookout. You know, we'll be on the lookout for your work here in the future. Gene? You know, as always, it's always enlightening and entertaining to speak with you, sir. And
sure.
You know, we'll be talking soon.
All right, sounds good. And you guys, if we make it to Christmas, have a happy Christmas holiday. And otherwise, keep the stick back and the nose out of the alfalfa.
You guys do the same. Thanks.